Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today, Peter asked Jesus, "How often do I have to forgive a brother who wrongs me?" Dear friends of Christ, sometimes we pray carefully. Sometimes we pray carelessly. Sometimes we don't pray at all. It's just our human nature. Sometimes, you know, but in our human nature, our prayers are never perfect. Our prayers are never pure. Sometimes we pray because the situation demands immediate prayer. Other times we pray because God commanded us. I want you to pray, so we do it out of duty. And then other times we just ignore all that. We just don't pray at all. We don't talk to Him at all. I ask people why. You know, why don't you pray? I get interesting answers. What I hear is, you know, God's too busy to be bothered. Don't want to bother God. He's got too much to do. Wrong. Isaiah tells us this kind of thinking is wrong. The Lord is an everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired. He never grows weary. So bother Him. Again, others say, well, I've tried to pray, but, you know, it just doesn't work. Again, wrong. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working, so pray believing. Trust the Lord when He says prayer works. Just because He answers no doesn't mean He's not listening and He hasn't answered your prayer. Other people are more honest. When I ask them why they don't pray, they say, I just don't like it. When I pray, I fall asleep, and so I just don't do it. Whatever the excuse, in the end, what we find is sometimes we pray out of necessity because the situation demands it, and we pray carefully, and other times we pray carelessly. St. Augustine, a well-respected church father, well-respected pastor who lived a long time ago, prayed. But as a young man, Augustine lived recklessly, sinfully, rebelliously. And his mom, Monica, feared for her son. She was a God-fearing woman, prayed faithfully, and she was fearful that her wayward son, Augustine, was going to live into a lifestyle that would send him to an early grave. So she prayed for him all the time, relentlessly, fearlessly. And of course, Augustine didn't share his mother's passion for living out the Christian faith, but he did pray. And as he writes in his book, he says, "Instead, I prayed, Lord, make me chaste. Make me chaste. Make me pure. Just not yet." He prayed, but he prayed carelessly. This morning, Jesus gives us a parable. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. And of course, we understand that he had a debt to be paid. Couldn't pay it off. I mean, you could work your whole life, you weren't paying off that debt. An unpayable debt. And he pleaded. As we learn this parable, you've heard it before, but have you learned its lesson? The lesson of the parable. It's fairly simple. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Have you learned it? Sometimes we don't take for serious all those things that we should do. We're not very careful with all that. And we pray, as we do in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So what does that mean? We pray it, do we mean it? Or do we pray carelessly? What it is, we're saying, "Dear Lord, forgive me, as you forgive me, teach me to forgive others. Let me forgive as I've been forgiven." It's a prayer. We pray about forgiveness. It's not so easy for me. Help me to do it. Please teach me to forgive. And yet we pray carelessly, don't we? We don't even think about it. We just pray it. It just rolls off our minds. We don't even think about then, okay, now I just prayed to forgive. Help me to forgive. Got to make an effort there. We don't mean it. But Jesus teaches us about forgiveness here in our parable today, and forgiveness is to be included in our daily prayers. Forgive me so that I can forgive others. And so our theme, forgiveness has no limits. No limits on forgiveness. Forgiving others, as we've been forgiven, is the whole point of Jesus' teaching today. It's a parable. And it's pretty clear. You had the wicked servant, and he is forgiven a great debt. And then he goes and he refuses to forgive a much, 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 much smaller debt. He's severely punished for failing to forgive. And Jesus concludes this parable with these words of warning and judgment. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you. Wow, now the finger points at you. That's what God's going to do to you if you fail to forgive those who have wronged you. That's pretty severe. Do you remember why Jesus told this parable? Well, what prompted the story was because Peter had asked a question, how often do I forgive a brother when they keep hurting me? Somebody keeps hurting me over and 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 over. How many times do I have to forgive them? Good question. Seems like a legit question, right? I mean, there has to be a limit. Somebody keeps slapping you in the face and mistreating you and abusing you. There has to be a limit. There has to be only a time that you're going to allow that to happen before you say, enough's enough. I'm not forgiving that anymore. It would just make sense. I mean, it's good to be kind, right? Let's be nice. Peter suggested 7 times, which was generous because the rabbi of that day said, you know, forgive 3 times. That's sufficient. After that, well, the guy deserves what he gets. Peter is being generous. And yet Jesus says, no, there's no limit. And we have to be, there has to be a limit. 7 times. Has a nice ring to it. 7 times. I mean, somebody intentionally hurts you and you say, okay, I know you probably didn't mean it, but I'm going to put the best construction on it and I'm going to forgive you. And then they do it again. And you say, well, that time, that one hurt, but it's okay, I'm going to forgive you. And then they do it again. You say, okay. I should be angry, right? But no, I'll do the godly thing. But how many times? What's the limit? Where do we back off? And at what time do you stop backing off and then say, no, that I've had enough? There's a limit to my forgiveness. Seems like there ought to be. And God says, no. There's no limit to forgiveness. God's forgiving love has no limits. If it did, well, your soul would be in hell for all eternity, and so would mine. All of our souls would be burning in hell right now if God's forgiveness had limits. Forgiveness has no limits. We call it grace. Grace is that word for God's undeserved love. We don't deserve the love we get from Him. And we're to love as we've been loved. Love people who don't deserve your love. Why? Because you've received love by a God that you don't deserve to be loved by. Mercy. Grace, undeserved love. Mercy, punishment you don't deserve. God doesn't punish you the way your sins deserve. You're not going to go to hell. You're not going to burn in the flames. Why? Mercy. You have received grace. You have received mercy. And there is no limits on how many times you can offend God and how many times He's going to forgive you. There's no limits on forgiveness. God's forgiving love has no limitations. It has no exclusions. It has no exemptions. It has no asterisks. It has no small print. Psalm 32:1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He who forgives all your iniquities, he who heals all your diseases, he who redeems your life from destruction. God simply forgives, simply deletes the debt. Simply covers it all, no questions asked. Peter asked Okay, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. But how many times do I have to forgive a brother who's wronged me? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. I think you understand the point. The point is not that we stop forgiving when we reach 490 times. The point is that forgiveness doesn't stop. Forgiveness never keeps score. True forgiveness never keeps a record of wrong. It doesn't remember past offenses. It doesn't seek getting even to those who have stood up against us. Forgiveness has no limits. And we forgive others the way we've been forgiven. No limits. Yeah. Well, that's going to put a hitch in our giddy up. Because that's not, by nature, that's not how we act. Somebody hurts us, we plan to get even. Somebody wounds us, we decide we're going to wound them back, and we keep score. We keep mental files of all of that, all the ways we've been hurt and the way we've been offended, all the ways we've been wronged, a long old list. We've got spreadsheets. We've got graphs. We've got PowerPoints with graphic details of how we've been wronged and how we've been hurt and how unjust it was and how unfair. It's our sinful nature. And we can't help ourselves. We nurse our grudges. We baby our bitterness. We have to protect that chip that's on our shoulder lest it gets knocked off. You understand? But this morning, Jesus speaks to us to that kind of unforgiving heart. He reminds us what true, genuine forgiveness looks like, what real forgiveness is, not our fake forgiveness, where we pray about forgiveness. Jesus, teach me to forgive, and then we pray carelessly and don't really mean it. Forgiveness has no limits. Now, the word to forgive really means, in Greek, to let go, right? To let go. So what you're doing when you forgive is you let go of that offense. You just let it go. And that's what God does to you. When you break a commandment, God doesn't hold it against you. He lets it go. Good thing. When you don't put God first in your life, He lets it go. When you forget about Him, He lets it go. When you hurt somebody, He lets it go. Forgiveness has no limits. Forgiveness also means to send away. Let it go, send it away. Put it somewhere where God wants it to be put. And God wants you to send that offense away into the blood of Jesus. Send the wrongdoing into the blood. Because there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus to cleanse. Drive it into the blood where God forgives it. Drive it far from you. Get it away from you. That's what God does with our sin. Drives our sin far from us. He gets it away from us. There's no limits to how many times He does it. And there's no limits to how bad the offense. He forgives us even when we don't deserve to be forgiven. That's how God forgives us. And then He sends our sins into the blood of Christ where they're purged. And because of that, God lets our sins go. All the mental files that God has against our sins, erased. All the PowerPoint with the describe all of our offenses against Him in great detail, deleted. Erased. Forgiven, forgotten, no limits. You have been greatly loved. And we stand in that love. God holds no grudges. He refuses to get even. Forgiveness has no limits. So what of us? Lord, thank You for the forgiveness, but now how am I supposed to forgive? And Jesus has the answer. And you know the answer, right? Clearly enough, forgive as you've been forgiven. Shred the mental files, delete all the wrongdoings, send all those offenses far from you, and if they continue to offend you, forgive them again, drive them away, and if they continue to offend you, drive them away, because forgiveness has no limits. Let it go. Forgive 70 times 7 as though a sinful offense never happened. And when you do, these are the benefits. Number one, the offenses that somebody does to you can't hurt you anymore. They may continue to do the offense, but the offense doesn't hurt you because you keep forgiving them. You keep saying, that's not going to bother me. I let it go. That's not going to hurt me. I let it go. That's what God does to you when you offend Him. He says, I'm not going to let them hurt me. I let it go. I send it to the blood. It's washed. It's cleansed. It's taken care of. And as you've been forgiven, forgive others. So first, when you learn to forgive, you can deal with the bitterness by letting it go. Secondly, you live in that freedom. You have the ability to step into the freedom of saying, I choose to release that person, even though that person doesn't deserve to be released. It's a powerful parable to live in that freedom. You're set free from binding people and hurting people and judging people. You're set free to love them. Jesus has given us a power parable that shakes up our paradigm of what we think, you know, forgiveness ought to be, how we think about forgiveness, and we take it so carelessly and lightly instead of seriously. A king forgave a servant a multi-million dollar debt, a literal unpayable debt. He could have worked his whole life, never paid it off. And then the king tells his accountants, get out your erasers. We're going to get rid of that debt. It's off the records. Servant's off, scot-free. But this same servant went back, tracked down somebody who owed him $500, grabbed him by the neck, threatened him, threw him into prison, he and his family, with great anger. This is the guy who'd been forgiven a multi-million dollar debt. That kind of love should have changed him. That kind of love should have changed his heart. It didn't. The bad guy wanted to be forgiven, but he refused to forgive. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness has no limits. And just to make sure we apply these things to ourselves, Jesus said, so my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. We can see how much God hates an unforgiving heart. Nothing angers Him more than our refusal to forgive others. Why? Because forgiveness has no limits. Let's say it together. Forgiveness has no limits. Simple enough. If we take it seriously. And if you look to the cross of Jesus Christ, you understand that forgiveness has no limits. How God drives your sin far from you. Every sin committed is covered by the blood. You owe God. You owe God big time. You can't repay Him. You live in His mercy. You live in His grace. He forgives you. Your soul is not condemned, but saved. Your sins are drowned in the blood of Christ. You, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are debt-free. Your sins have been removed from you as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. So the books are closed. The score has been settled. The price has been paid. The debt has been forgiven. And you're set free. You're set free to go. Free to go. And free to forgive. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.